Do I have passion? We are commanded to be passionate towards God. Do I have passion? In all of your life, do you have passion for anything? Okay, well, what is your passion? Now, I remember as a child, when I was 13 years old, my grandfather, every morning, and I was there a lot at his house, he would wake up at 5, 4:30, he would study the Bible, and I would always walk down the stairs to let him know, hey, I'm here, you can stop reading the Bible and come talk to me. And we would talk economics, we would talk finance, we would talk CBO, CME, which is Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Chicago Board of Options Exchange. We were hardcore finance, and he was teaching me his ways. And then it would always slip into prophecy, every time, without fail. And he would talk about the economic and what would it be like in the world tomorrow? The eyes, we were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We were always wanting. My brother was beside me most of the time. We had a passion for, at that time, learning finance. My grandfather started teaching me how to trade commodities. I traded wheat, soybeans, corn, livestock, cattle. I even did coffee and frozen orange juice, which is a commodity, believe it or not. The passion was intense. I moved to Chicago, and guess where I lived? One block away from the Chicago Board of Options Exchange and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. I walked by it every day. My passion was like this every day. Oh, wow. After a month, wow. After a year, You know, it's just a building. But the passion was always there for me to learn. And my grandma would always get up a little later, and she would always jump right in when we were talking about prophecy and we were talking about the Bible. Me and my brother both listened to my grandma and grandpa a great deal. We both went on to get finance degrees from university. We both went on to get a master's in finance. I got mine MBA in financial planning, my brother in financial analysis. We were hook, line, and sinker. We were the boringest people at parties. Because me and my brother would just argue about economics. Believe me, nobody was around us. So we had a true passion. But we did have our passion turn. God called us into the church. Me and my brother were baptized together by my grandfather, who was an elder in the church. So today, we're going to explore a passion we are required to have. The passion of God's way of life. Please turn over to John 2, verse 15. This is Jesus the Christ in one of the greatest examples about passion and intensity. John verse 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 13. We'll pick it up in 13. Now, the Passover of the Jews, which is important to know, was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold ox and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and ox and poured out the changers' money and turned over the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was saying, that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Jesus loved people. Can you picture this very detailed passage in the Bible? Can you picture it? Jesus the Christ, which we believe from that time, he was probably around 5 foot, short hair. He gets a whip. He was probably a pretty muscular man, being a carpenter. And he starts driving people with intensity out. This is my Father's house. You will not degrade it by selling. Can you imagine that? Now that is passion. The English Standard Version puts it, zeal for your house will consume me. See, he was compassionate towards those who were hurting and in need of healing. And he taught continually about how God, the Father, and the kingdom to come will make a difference in your life. John Gill's commentary of the Bible points out that Christ's regard for his Father's house was typical of the church of God, and such his concern for his honor, ordinances, and worship that when he saw the merchandise that was carried into the temple, his zeal, which was a true and hearty affection for God, was stirred up in him, and to such a degree that it was like a consuming fire. That's a pretty good commentary. So, what is stopping you from having the passion, the zeal, the fire in your belly? What's stopping you from having that? Distractions. I say that we live in a world filled with turmoil. We live in a world filled with shiny things and sparkling things. It takes your mind away from our passion. There are choices you can make each and every day by the millions when you think of it. Every day, so many things take us away or can take us away. You know, Christ preached while on earth. His message was to seek first the kingdom of God. That's okay, seek first the kingdom of God. But think about it. Before anything else, focus your life on the kingdom of God. What did Christ do when he was here? He taught there is a kingdom coming, and you are to seek it diligently. I say that I go and I do my work, and then I go to bed. It is very challenging sometimes to stop and to meditate and say every day, you know what? The kingdom of God is real and it is coming. And I want to be a part of it. We were listening on the way last night to dinner. We were listening to an article. Discern magazine has these little clips, these little articles that you can listen to. 5 minutes, 10, 15 minutes at the most, and they're audibles. And the one we were listening to is, are you able to give a defense? But in there, when he said that you are supposed to give a defense, and that's 1 Peter 3, verse 15, the thing I focused on is the reason this person was able to give a defense because he had hope. He had hope. My passion should be tied to my hope. I hope that the future is how the Bible says it is. And I know it is because I have faith. But my hope, I want to do many things as much as I can for God's people, to be of service, to do good works, because the kingdom is coming. We need to make sure we are firmly connected to God's way of life. We must read and study daily. With prayer and periodic fasting, we should ask God for the passion that we need to have as his people. And we can ask him for the guidance we need to negotiate these changes and these challenging times. Ask and yet shall receive. I can't do really much of anything on my own. And when you recognize, and that's the difference between us and a lot of the people outside of the church, they believe they can do it on their own. They don't need anyone. They don't need rules to tell them what to do. I need everything God has given me, and I need more of it. So I need to ask God every day for help. If we are immersed in the way of God and the Word of God, it is hard for other issues to steal our time and energy. Think of it as a bunch of time suckers. We only have a few things in life. We have time. We have what the focus is, time, money, and health. There's not much other than that. Most things can fall into those categories. My time should be spent on seeking first the kingdom of God. Money, do not worry about money. If God wants you to have something, you will have it. And health, we pray fervently that God allows us to have a healthy body to be able to do the things we want to do. Health is so much more important when you realize that you're not young anymore. When you get up there in age, health becomes your number one. You know, God, please allow me to not ache and pain. Please, God, allow the cancer to go away. Have you read the prayer request list? It is intense and it is long. God's people are suffering. We have a lot of the members that have cancer, that have ulcers, that have forgetting of their memory. Their mind is going. These are things in the church that are real, and only God can intervene. So, in conclusion, we are here today because we have a passion for God's word, and we know to keep his commandments. We are to be intimate with Christ, and he had a strong zeal to teach the kingdom, a true passion.